Thanks for listening in to the Calvary Podcast, coming to you from Miami, Florida. We're so glad you've joined us. We hope today's message will encourage you and remind you that God is with you and He's for you. Here's today's message.
Picking up in verse 1, it says this. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion, was a Roman government official, like a Roman commander. He was somebody very high up, and he had a lot of power, a lot of stature, a lot of reputation. He had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. They were friends, they were close. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent him elders of the Jews asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly. They were borderline begging Jesus. He is worthy to have you do this for him. He loves our nation. He is the one who built us our synagogue. This was a good man. It's a good Roman centurion. Mostly during those times, Jews and Romans had a terrible, there was a ton of animosity. But this centurion cared for the Jewish people. He was somebody who would advocate to the Roman government on the behalf of the Jewish people. He'd be their mouthpiece, their voice in government. But not only that, he believed in their faith. Maybe he wasn't a Christian or a true believer of God, but he funded the synagogue himself. He built this, he funded this. And so it's powerful to see this man, and he's a good man. And when Jesus was with them, or Jesus went with them, so he heard the requests and he went with these guys. When Jesus was not far off from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to Jesus, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you under my roof. Therefore, I do not presume to come to you, but say the word." Jesus, just say the word, "and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority." So he's talking about, hey, I know you're a man of authority, so am I, "with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, I say, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. In other translations, he was amazed by his faith. Jesus turned around to the crowd that followed him and said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such a faith." Verse 10 finishes this and says, "And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well." And if you're taking notes, just want to keep it simple. We're going to talk about this title, "Just Say the Word." Just say the word. To have faith to believe that Jesus can just say a word and all of creation falls under his command. And here's a preface about, we are going to talk about healing. What I'm not going to tell you is 5 steps to guarantee your healing. It's not biblical, but we do have a healing God. And we're going to talk about how we have a faith despite our circumstances, whether we are healed or not, to keep going after Jesus. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible that teaches us, that speaks to us, that looks at our life. It's a mirror into our life, God. And we just pray that you would check our hearts, look at our hearts today, God. And God, you would just teach, you would convict, you would challenge, you would encourage, you would strengthen. Have your way today, Jesus. We talk about healing, God, that you would actually heal people today, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name, Jesus, we believe, God. We believe that you can do it. And we're gonna believe for testimonies today, God, healings to happen today. And we're believing that, God, your presence is here, Lord Jesus. God, we also pray for anybody here for the first time at Calvary, first time at a church. Maybe they don't have a relationship with you, Jesus. They wouldn't consider themselves a Christian. I just pray, Jesus, that you would speak to them more than just a man with a microphone. God, they would hear from you today, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we love you. Be with us. Speak to us. In your name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. I recently read a story about a general manager or coach in baseball terms of an MLB coach named Earl Weaver. He was the coach of the Baltimore Orioles around the 60s and 80s. And for a moment, he was able to coach one of the best baseball players of all time. He was able to coach Reggie Jackson. If you don't know, he's Mr. October, one of the best Yankees ever. But for a time, he started with the Orioles. And so this article, it depicts their relationship, Earl Weaver's with Reggie Jackson's. And Earl Weaver was a pretty strict kind of old school guy. And one of the things on the team that he was very adamant about was like, hey, nobody's gonna steal bases unless I send the signal. Nobody steals bases, nobody does anything unless a coach says so. Reggie Jackson was a young and upcoming star. Was really, you know, he was very full of himself. He was a believer in his talent. He was somebody who knew he was good at baseball. They didn't see eye to eye when it came to this philosophy. And for example, there was a game where Reggie Jackson felt that he had a good keened in on the relationship between the pitcher and the catcher and kind of understood when they would be a good time to steal. So he took it upon himself to steal first base, ended up in second. It was successful. He was safe. He was smiling because he felt like he almost wound up the coach, or he vindicated his belief and that he didn't have to talk to the coach and that he could do this just by his own natural talent. Well, the inning didn't end up being great for the Orioles. And so after the inning, the coach Weaver pulls aside Reggie Jackson and he tells him, hey, this is the reason why I didn't send the sign for you to steal. And he says, the first reason is because the guy next to bat behind you is our second best hitter. And so instead of letting this guy hit, they're going to walk him. So they walked him. They took the bat out of his hands. The batter after that guy, he's no good. He's not good. He's terrible. So I have to go to my bench and get a pinch hitter to switch places with this guy. And now our bench strength is weak. See, Reggie Jackson, all he saw was the relationship between the pitcher and the catcher. The coach, he saw the whole game. Saw the bigger picture. And I think when it comes to our faith, we can be like Reggie Jackson. We can only see so far. But we know that God sees the bigger picture in our lives, the behind the scenes. He knows our future, our past, our present. God sees all things. And so when he sends a signal or a sign, we'd be wise to obey, despite whatever we think we know or feel like we are good at. But here's the thing. In faith is such a, right? You're a Christian and our faith is based on something we cannot see. And so we struggle with this because we're humans and there's doubt and there's frustrations. And it's tough to have faith, this kind of faith where we believe God has a better picture for us when we're in need of healing, right? When you need healing, that means something's wrong. And how do we have faith? How do we see the bigger picture that God wants to paint for us if we're diagnosed with something that can't be cured? We're sick all the time. Something we've dealt with all of our years is a chronic illness or something mentally. We're just depressed. We have anxiety. We've gone to therapists. It's just staying with us and it's not going away. How do I have faith? What happens is you don't see God's bigger picture. What you see is right in front of you. And right in front of you can get you angry. Right in front of you can get you impatient. Get you frustrated. It can make you doubt. It can make you wrestle with God and it can affect your relationship with him. And here's the thing, because I think that kind of thinking and that mindset makes us ask the question, well, why doesn't God heal everyone? Like, have you ever thought that? I remember early on in my Christian, growing up in the faith, like you ask all these hard questions. And one of them is, why doesn't God heal everyone? Maybe you're a Christian here today. And you faithfully serve Jesus. You're here every Sunday on Dream Team. You're a mom or a dad and you're raising up your children in the ways of God. You pray faithfully. You're a prayer warrior. You read your word. You're a theologian. You would die for this book. But yet every time you pray to be healed, God seems like he's far away. And the question you can ask is, why doesn't God heal me? Forget everybody else. Why didn't he heal me? And these are things we have to wrestle with. And here's what we have to understand when it comes to healing in the Bible. I believe it's not always God's will to heal a person physically. And I think we can sincerely pray. I think that we can truly have faith that God can heal. But if it's not God's will to provide the healing at that time, then no healing will come. Look what it says in 1 John 5:14. It says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards Jesus, that if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. But sometimes God's blessings will come in other ways besides physical healing. And that's something we gotta wrestle with as Christians, because we want the healing, because the healing is gonna get the pain away from us, the struggle away from us, the clarity in our minds. But sometimes God's will is different from our plans. And here's the thing, if it were always God's will to heal people, then people would get healed every time they got hurt. Or if it was God's will to heal people all the time, then Christians wouldn't die. Christians wouldn't die, we wouldn't feel anything. And I think when we talk about healing and what we're talking about today, the tendency could be to have a logic of, well, okay, Phil, is it that the reason I don't have my healing is because I have a lack of faith? Or the reason that I'm sick is because God's mad at me? Or the reason that I have cancer, or the reason that I'm paralyzed, or the reason why my family's going through this, or my daughter or my son is going through this, my cousin is going through this, because I'm not praying enough? And we associate our level of faith with if God is good or bad based on that level, based on those terms. And that could be farther from the truth. The problem is the lacking of your faith doesn't lead to the gaining of a sickness. The truth is that when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, all the problems in the world became a real thing for us to deal with. Sin entered the world, broken it. We are broken people in a broken world, and things are gonna happen. Whether you are a strong Christian or you are growing up in the faith or you're on a journey, And whatever life you are in, no matter what, you can't avoid problems, you can't avoid pain, you can't avoid sickness, you can't avoid any of those things. So it's not a level of faith thing. Because the strongest Christians weren't even exempt from being sick. Just look at the life of Paul. Paul had a leader that he had to leave that was sick. And he's like, man, didn't even lay hands on him or pray. He just left him sick in the church plant. Paul would tell Timothy, drink wine for your stomach issues and your other illnesses. Some of you are like, I wish Paul was my doctor. Because it's like, Paul, I got a common cold. It's like two glasses of Pinot Noir would do that trick. It's like, but it's a really bad cold. Okay, you can have another glass. And then Paul himself had a physical ailment that the Lord declined to heal. Didn't heal him. And he wrestled with that thorn at his side till the day he went up to be with Jesus. Weak, strong Christian, whatever you want, whatever category of Christian you find yourself in, we all are not exempt from sickness. Sometimes God uses illnesses to accomplish his will. And that might be maturity. That might be testimony. That might be evangelism. That what you are going through with the right perspective can give God glory and bring and do more for the kingdom of God than maybe your another life that you had would have. And this is why we have to be careful not to oversimplify healing, right? Because we can think, okay, God loves me. So God loves me. I pray to be healed and the healing happens automatically. But that's not how it works. And I'll give you an example. I mean, just think about any good parent. Any good parent is not going to give their child anything they want, every time they want, all the time, every second, every minute, every hour, even when they beg, even when they cry. And we love them. And we love our kids. And so we have to wrestle with this tension. But here's the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God. And there's so many testimonies of people who have prayed and not been healed, but yet are doing incredible things for the kingdom. And I want to share it because I want to encourage our faith. We believe God heals, but there's also a perspective we need to have in those moments when he doesn't. And there's a story of a woman that I've never heard of her until reading her article, but she's a famous Christian author, radio host, and artist. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tada. And she struggled with this issue of praying to God and not being healed for a very long time. And she talks about her struggle in her book called Johnny. And she sought physical healing for her quadriplegia. So she was paralyzed from the shoulders down. So she would write books and she would paint with just her mouth. It was insane how God used her life. And she says this in her book. She goes, she prayed and fully believed that God would heal her. In her words, she says this, I certainly believed. I was calling up my girlfriends and saying, next time you see me, I'm going to be running up on your sidewalk. God's going to heal me. Yet to this day, she's still in a wheelchair. She's still in a wheelchair. 45 years after the accident that left her paralyzed, God has still not healed her. But her perspective is one of great faith. She is quoted in an article saying this, God may remove your suffering and that'll be great cause for praise. But if not, he will use it. He will use anything and everything that stands in the way of his fellowship with you. So let God mold you and make you, transform you from glory to glory. That's deeper healing. And we got to be careful that we don't have the perspective that every time I pray, God has to answer me. That's not how faith works. Faith works that despite what I'm going through, God is the best choice. A life with God will always be the best choice, whether I'm healed or not, because I've seen what he's done for my kids. I've seen what he's done in my life years before. It's not that because he doesn't answer my prayer, I base my whole entire life in relation with Jesus on that answer. Because I've seen him do things in my past. He saved me from the depths of hell. That's more than enough. And we got to be careful because if not, we lose the beauty of what a real faith in Jesus Christ looks like. I think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that? We could put up the scripture. It's a beautiful story. Here they are. They're defying Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wants them to worship false idols and just denounce their faith and all this stuff. And he's like, okay, if you don't, we're going to send you in a furnace of fire. We're going to burn you guys alive. And look what they replied to the king. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But catch this. Look what they say here. But even if he doesn't, even if God doesn't do it and we burn alive, we want to make it very clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Listen to me. Can you have faith that says, even if God doesn't take away this cancer, even if God doesn't make me well, even if God, if I'm sick for the rest of my life with depression or anxiety, whatever the case may, can I still have faith to believe that Jesus still loves me? He's for me. His plans that are amazing are still for me. They're not out of my grasp. Can I still believe that? Because here's the thing. If our perspective is only of faith, if our perspective of faith is only when, it'll be very difficult to have faith even if. Because we can have a faith that's like, only when God answers, I'll have faith. That only when God brings me the man of my dreams or woman of my dreams or brings me the healing or fixes my family or changes my son, changes my kid, that's when I'll have faith. But can you have faith like those three and say, hey, God can do it. God can save us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down. We're still not denouncing our faith. We're still going to believe in God. We're still going to give our lives for God because we know what he's done in our souls, in our lives, in every aspect of it. That's faith. Can God heal? Yes, he can heal. He can and he will. Because here's the beauty thing. The beauty of this. Johnny, our character that we read, the lady that we read about, she's going to walk again one day. What you're going through one day, God can heal you today, tomorrow, or when you see him face to face, when you step foot in eternity for the rest of your life. When you step into heaven and there is no more sadness, there is no more pain, there is no more darkness, there's no more hunger, there's no more murder. It's paradise. And you're going to walk in with a brand new body. That's perfect. Has no blemishes. Six pack. Nice shoulders. Chin. Everything. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And so whether you get healed today or when you see Jesus face to face, faith is how we live in the in-between. The in-between. And here's the thing. Your perspective matters. How you think, how you see what you're going through and how Jesus is going to work in that situation, it matters. And this is why I love the story of the centurion, because he had a change of perspective. He had the right perspective in this moment. See, in the story, you have all these guys vouching for the Roman centurion. Many of them believed he was worthy of Jesus. He was a good guy. So why wouldn't Jesus help him? He's a good guy. We believe he built us a synagogue. He's our advocate to the Roman government. Like, he deserves to have this healing, Jesus. But the centurion saw himself more clearly. His perspective is not the same as the guys that were vouching for him. Instead of using his own authority or reputation to force Jesus to help his servant, this soldier, he confessed that he was empty and helpless without Jesus. The centurion, like most of us, probably think we can solve our own problems all the time. That God's going to heal me. A, B, like steps, like this is how he's going to do it. It's going to be on this day at this hospital and it's going to be with this medicine. God's gonna, like, or take that scenario in every aspect of our life. We just, sometimes we get too intellectual and try to map out what God's going to do. We try to put all that power on our own strength and our own mind. And the reality is the centurion saw what a lot of us struggle to see sometimes, that he cannot change the situation, that he had no power to change or save his dying servant. You have to understand, you can't come to Jesus until you stop going to yourself. Until you get to the end of yourself and you're like, I have nothing to give here and I have everything to gain with Jesus, is when your faith can be stirred up and when your faith can be strong because you put everything in the hopes and hands in Jesus. Centurion recognized something about Jesus that even his disciples at this time didn't even recognize. That Jesus was Lord over everything. That he was literally God himself in man form. So if you were to ask the centurion, who is this man? Who is Jesus? I think he would tell you three things. He would tell you Jesus is a miracle worker, Jesus is compassionate, and Jesus is under authority. So as we go through this series of who is this? Who is Jesus? Let the centurion be an example of who we should see Jesus as. So the first thing I want to break down is Jesus is a miracle worker. He does miracles to this day. He can do it. We believe it. That we believe that when he left that tomb, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and his presence can meet us anywhere we're at. That he's not bound to just a chair in heaven. That he's not bound to just being his physical one person Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit lets us have God wherever we go. And here's the beauty about this story. How can the centurion say that Jesus is a miracle worker or view Jesus as a miracle worker? Well, here's the thing. We have no evidence that this centurion ever heard Jesus preach. Ever. Maybe he got reports from his army. Maybe the Jewish elders that he was close with would tell him about Jesus. But we can for sure say that this man has never seen Jesus physically. And here's the thing about this idea of long distance healing. Because Jesus at that time and other miracle workers at that time were laying hands on people and they were getting healed. But the stories were of long distance healings were rare and far between. It was viewed, long distance healing was viewed as the most extraordinary of all miracles. But that didn't stop the centurion from having great faith, of wondering how's Jesus gonna do it. He's pretty far away. How does this work? I don't know the ins and outs. I'm not, because he's not even a Christian. He's not even a follower of Jesus. But yet this man had faith that should encourage all of us. Listen, though the centurion never saw Jesus, all he had to do was hear about him and believe the stories. All he had to do was hear. What does the Bible say about hearing? It says to Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing. Do you remember how you got saved? You heard a message. You heard a testimony. Somebody in your family was talking about church and told you to come, and you got saved. Like, we hear about the gospel of Jesus and we are saved, and it gives us faith. Here's the thing about the centurion soldier. His experience is not different from ours, unless some of you in here are 2,000 years old. But last time I checked, none of us, myself included, has ever seen Jesus in person. But yet I believe. Yeah, you believe. Yeah, you dedicate every single Sunday of your week to come to church and worship him and give to him and serve him. It's because all we need to do is hear. I don't need to see. I hear what he's done in that person's life. I hear what he's done at church, and something gets me curious about this Jesus. That all I have to do is hear and believe, and I can have faith. Because let's go back to the basic. What is faith 101? Faith 101 is believing in something we have not seen. We're not gonna, I have faith. I don't know how God's gonna do certain things. I don't know how God's gonna bless me. I don't know how God's gonna answer that prayer. I don't know how God's gonna do it, but I have faith that he will. I have faith that even though I can't see it, he's gonna do it. And look what Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. That's our faith. The world will tell you that seeing is believing. But if you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, it's, I believe before I see. I don't prescribe to, I have to see it and then I can worship. No, I worship despite not knowing what's gonna happen. Because I know that one day when I leave this earth, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. And even while I'm on this earth, Jesus has a purpose for my life. He wants to bless my family, he wants to bless my marriage. He wants me to bless society. He uses me as a vessel, as a disciple, that the God of the universe would choose me to do anything is a miracle. Jesus was a miracle worker, and the centurion man saw it, or he heard about it, but wanted to see for himself. He had great faith. Second thing that the centurion man knew about Jesus is that he was compassionate. Look at verse 6, it says that Jesus went with them. You gotta think about it, why would Jesus waste any time with these guys? I mean, look, he doesn't know the centurion man. They've never met. He doesn't know the servant that is sick and dying. He doesn't even know these elders of the Jews because they're not followers of Jesus. Yet Jesus, despite all that, goes, okay, let's go. Let's go to his house. Let's go. Let's go. Let's walk together. We're gonna heal. We're gonna pray. And it just makes me think, like, it's a beautiful picture of how Jesus cares for us, especially if you feel far from Jesus. Or like you're here today, and I don't know everybody's story. I know some people. I have family. This is my life. I see members of our church, but maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus at all. Or maybe you've been coming to Calvary for a couple weeks, but you're wrestling with your relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you feel so ashamed of your life and the things that you've done, that there's no way Jesus, as compassionate as he is, as nice as he is, as loving as he is, as sacrificial as he is, would ever run after you or see your life as worthy to spend any time with. But the centurion man was like, I've heard about this guy. I've heard that he's healing people. I've heard that he's helping the lame. He's casting out demons. I've heard his teachings, and maybe I don't have any right to ask him this, but I'm going to. And Jesus doesn't say no, doesn't ridicule him, doesn't give the man a bio of all his sins and mistakes, doesn't tell him, oh, he's not a Christian, so I'm not gonna go. I got other people that I need to meet on my schedule. No, he goes to his house because Jesus is compassionate. And my friend, he loves you. He loves you. Doesn't matter if you don't know him at all. He loves you so, so much. He has compassion to your needs. He has compassion to your prayers. He has compassion to whatever it is going on in your life. Jesus wants to meet you. Third and final thing, and the band can come up. But the centurion heard about Jesus. What he saw in that moment was that Jesus was under authority. Because what does he tell him? He goes, hey, I understand your authority because I myself have authority. They were parallel in their under authority jobs, where this man would say something like go and guys would go. He would say serve and people would serve. Whatever he would say, he was under authority, so he had a right to authority. So both him and Jesus, all they had to do was say the word and things happened. But here's the difference that the Roman centurion saw. He goes, I can say something to soldiers and they do stuff. Jesus can say a word and all creation does something. He was like, we're under authority, but your authority, I want to be under that authority. I want that power, the power and the faith to believe that Jesus, all you have to do is say a word and I could be healed. Say a word and I could be fixed. Say a word and I could be helped. Just say a word, Jesus. He humbled himself to a place like, God, I don't even come to my house. I'm not even worthy of you to step into my house. So let me not inconvenience you. So I'm gonna send some friends to tell you and send you a message. Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be well. Can we have that faith that all Jesus has to do is say the word? This man amazed Jesus. Think about amazing Jesus. I would assume that he's a very hard man to amaze. He's God. But here, he's amazed by his faith. To say, Jesus, I don't need to sit down with you and ask you if you have a medical degree. Jesus, I don't need to sit down with you and I don't need you to tell me how you're gonna do the healing. What's the process like? I'm not gonna sit down and tell you all the things going on in my life and just give you, like, talk your ear off. I'm just gonna be like, Jesus, say the word. That's all I need you to do. Just say the word and you can heal this man. Forget the intellectual talk. Forget the guessing games. Forget trying to figure everything out. Just say the word, Jesus. And we hear at the end of the chapter, or the end of the verse, that the friends go back to the house and what? This man is healed. And Jesus did a long distance healing that would be seen as extraordinary, almost impossible. Jesus does it. And it took a man to have great faith. And here's the thing, the Roman soldier wasn't a believer. Didn't go to CLS, wasn't in a connect group, none of that. Yet how much more can we have faith like him? That our prayer and that our heart would be like what the disciples asked Jesus in Luke 17:5. Lord, increase our faith. If you're down in this place, ask God to increase your faith. Like if you feel like you're just going through it and you're wrestling with God and you're hurting and you're tired and you're frustrated and you're angry, ask God to increase your faith, because the byproduct of that is you're gonna have more joy, you're gonna have more peace, because you're gonna be comfortable and okay and content with where Jesus has you, whether you're healed or not. Increase my faith, Jesus. Why don't we stand up to our feet? Before we pray for some people, I wanted to share one more story, because I believe it's what we need in this moment. I believe that if we could be honest, we could get very comfortable in church And here's the thing. When you get comfortable in church, your faith could get comfortable as well. And I think a lot of us, we forgot what it's like to be in a room where heaven touches earth. And I think of this story, I'm reminded of this story. There was a doctor in India, and he was the leading specialist in treating leprosy. And he's with a patient, and this patient is with him, and he's telling this man, hey, here's how the procedure's gonna go. He puts his hand on his shoulder. He goes, hey, this is a procedure, how it's gonna go. Obviously, the doctor's not Indian, so there was a translator. And the moment the doctor stopped talking, the man just started sobbing, started crying uncontrollably. And the doctor's like talking to the translator, like, hey, did I offend him? Did I say anything wrong? Am I okay? And the translator asks the man, what's wrong? And the man goes, or the translator goes back to the doctor and says, no, there's nothing wrong with what you said. Is that this man has never been touched before. He had leprosy. People would stay away from him. People would look at him as an odd object. People would not want to be near him. But yeah, here he is, a doctor, puts his hand on his shoulder, and it causes something to happen in the man. And I just think a lot of us, we just need a touch of heaven in this place. And I just encourage you in this moment, maybe you don't need healing, but you just need the Holy Spirit to give you something, to answer something. Like, let's not waste the moment of being in God's presence as we worship. That a touch of heaven is all we need to strengthen our faith, increase our faith, to have an even if faith. And I can get a glimpse of heaven and go, man, I can't believe I'm gonna have that for the eternity. It can give us courage to face whatever problems we face. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, we wanna give an opportunity for those of you that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You wouldn't consider yourself a Christian. You feel far from God. You feel like you need forgiveness for your sins. You feel like you need a brand new beginning. I wanna tell you, Jesus provides that for you. Jesus was the Son of God. He left heaven, came down to earth. He was born as a baby, grew up to be a man. And as a man, he taught, he casted out demons, he healed people. Jesus was fully God, but also fully human. That meant that he got hungry, he got tired. He laughed, he cried, but he was also God. He didn't sin. He didn't make mistakes. He was perfect. The perfect Lamb of God came down to sacrifice for us. The plan to save humanity, to save our sins, was for Jesus to die on that cross. You have to understand sin. We talked about it earlier. Sin entered the world the moment Adam and Eve sinned. And all of us are born sinners. And there's nothing that you can do, my friend, to save yourself from your sin. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are. Doesn't matter how much money you give to charity. Doesn't matter how many kids you have, how awesome your house is, how awesome your family is. You're still a sinner. And that sin could only be removed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives up his life. He's abandoned by the disciples. He's abandoned by his family. He's falsely accused. He was perfect. He didn't make mistakes. He was arrested and tried illegally, but it was a part of the plan. So Jesus, beaten, tortured, mocked, humiliated, hands nailed to a cross, feet nailed to a cross. The Bible says that Jesus was unrecognizable. That's how badly he was beaten. On that cross, he took our place, friends. Figuratively, we were supposed to be on that cross. Sin was supposed to lead us to death in eternal damnation, separated from God. But Jesus said, no, I don't want that for you because I love you, because I have compassion for you. And so I'll take your place so you don't have to suffer. So Jesus dies on that cross, and then for 3 days, it looks like Jesus is a liar, it was crazy. But we know on the third day, what we're gonna celebrate in a couple weeks, is that Jesus defeated the grave, defeated death, and defeated sin. And all we have to do is put our faith in him, and the Bible says that we will be saved. That you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So again, in a moment of privacy, if you're going to say, Phil, that's me, I'm at a dead end. I've been looking at myself as my only answer. I feel like I need forgiveness of my sins. I want a brand new beginning, I want a brand new start. I want forgiveness of my sins. Then I want to pray for you, my friend. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Put a mic in your face. I just want to see who I'm praying for. So on the count of three, if you want to give your life to Jesus, hands are already going up. 1, 2, 3, you put your hands up, you put your hands up, you put your hands up. God bless you, man, God bless you. Awesome, God bless you, amazing. You can put your hands down, amazing. Well, hey, we're gonna celebrate you in a moment. And before we do that, I wanna lead you in a prayer. So if you had your hand up, we're gonna pray for you. And church, we do this every Sunday. It's a repeat after me prayer. And it goes like this. Lord Jesus, I open up my heart. I invite you inside to be my friend, to be my savior, to be my God. Lord, forgive me of my sins. wash me clean. From this day forward, I want to follow you all the days of my life. Jesus, I love you and I thank you. And everybody said, come on, let's put our hands together. A couple hands went up, amazing. Yeah. We're going to celebrate you. Thank you, Hessa. Hey, if you raise your hand real quick before we go, we want to give you a gift. I know that lifting up your hand, giving your life to Jesus is awesome, but I know that can also come with a bunch of questions. And so what we want to do as a church is come alongside you and help you with anything that we can do. And so if you raise your hand after service, we're going to have a tent. It's called the Connect Tent. Amazing leaders, and they have a gift for you. It's got a Bible. It's got a free coffee voucher, a bunch of other things. And no, next Sunday, you don't owe us $5 or anything. It is free. Take it. It's yours. Get into the Bible. Let it speak to you and believe that God's going to change your life starting today. And so let's put our hands together one more time for all those hands that went up. Best day of your life. Best decision of your life. For the rest of us, I pray that whatever we face in our life, whatever report we get, whatever decisions happen in our life, whatever sickness we get, we can have an even if faith. Knowing that because Jesus is not healing us doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It's so far from the truth that despite what we're going through, we would always follow him. That Jesus is the answer we've been looking for and will always be the answer that we need every single day of our life. Amen? So let me pray for your week. We're going to worship one more time and then we'll hang out in the front patio. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your compassion. Jesus, help us this week to be like you, Jesus. Help us this week to invite somebody to church, to pray for somebody, to love on somebody. Help us to be disciples all across Miami. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. And everybody said, God bless you, church. Let's finish here worshiping. We'll see you out front.